Buckmaster Show for Monday, the it's the 28th of February already, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend just when we thought winter was over, right? Maybe that was the last of the freezing temperatures for the season. I certainly hope so, and so do the plants out in the Buckmaster Garden. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330, and we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. The program re-airs from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes our bi-weekly Monday political face-off featuring one of our two teams of commentators. Today it's the turn of Munger and Robigo, that matchup. At the bottom of the hour, Richard Elias from the Pima County Board of Supervisors will join me in studio, and also dropping by the Buckmaster Show today, sports guru Mike Fader will be along. The Buckmaster Show is primarily driven by interviews, but there's always room for listener comments and questions. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. And today we resume our bi-weekly Monday Showdown series featuring our two teams of commentators. Our two teams are Republican National Committeeman for Arizona Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, longtime Democratic activist. The other team is in studio with us today. Both are A teams, let's face it. You got John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Robigo, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona attorney general. Gentlemen, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Morning, Bill.
Let's talk about our friend and colleague Paul Eckerstrom, spearheading the Let's Make Baja Arizona the 51st state. That's an effort that our Friday Roundtable regular and Tucson.com editor Mark Evans calls silly and a distraction from the state's real problems. John Munger.
Well, I agree. Let's talk about what Paul is talking about, and I respect Paul, but he's talking about not the Gadsden Purchase area running from Yuma south of the Gila, which would be about five counties. He's talking about Pima County.
Just Pima County.
Just Pima County. Now, basically what he's saying is we got a college town here that is out of step with the rest of the state, for better or for worse. I'm not making a judgment, but it's not in step with the rest of the state. And it wants, because it's unhappy, a few of the folks on the left are unhappy, they want to be a separate state. Well, does that mean the United States is going to take every college town in the country and take their county and make them a separate state? I don't think so. I think it's a ridiculous and silly is a good word. It's a total diversion from reality. And we need to go, get back to solving the problems in the state. It's almost impossible to accomplish. It's not going anywhere in the state nor nationally.
Distraction, Vince Robigo?
Well, I'll say this. I think it is a distraction of sorts. I think it certainly expresses frustration of people, and not people just here in Pima County. I think, obviously, if it's just Pima County, it certainly would go nowhere. And I'm not leading this charge, so let me be very clear. I'm not leading this charge. In fact, I refuse to give in to the extremist and radical agenda that is being pushed in Phoenix. And I have to disagree with John. I have to disagree with my colleague John's comments here that this is just an effort to single out a college town that's out of step with Arizona. The reality is, what is happening in Phoenix, the leadership, and this is not all Republicans, so I'll give you some slack here, John. Those who are in charge of our legislature, the Republican leadership, not all Republicans, not everybody under the sun, but those who are holding the power, the reins of power, have engaged upon a radical agenda. We can talk about that. And they are the ones who are out of step. So this is really an expression of frustration by folks who are seeing legislation. For example, they've passed a bill to create a star chamber that will get to decide which federal laws we're going to follow in Arizona. And we're going to say, no, we don't have to follow it.
So it's a radical agenda.
It is. It's all kinds of things that are happening up there. They are essentially trying to undo the 14th Amendment of the United States. They're doing all kinds of things that are wrong for Arizona.
This is the kind of thing, the kind of dialogue that we don't need and that's being talked about. So far, Vince has called these people engaging in Star Chamber. He's called them radicals. He might have called them wackos.
Nope.
Extremists.
No, I didn't hear
extremists. Extremists. We don't need that. Let's talk about talk about the issues. And incidentally, this Institute on Civility at the university is absurd. And we can get into that if you want. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Quick bottom line, why? Why do you
Look,
think it's...
what's the purpose of it, other than to control people's talk? Why do we need that? Why do we need...
We have a First Amendment.
Let people say what they want to say, and if they go to an extreme, let the public decide. Why do we need a professor to tell us, or worse, be telling our children... See, this is more political correctness. What's going to happen is they're going to get involved in the K-12 process and intimidate our children from engaging in political diatribe for fear of being politically incorrect or saying something uncivil. I don't want that. Let the public decide if something's uncivil.
What do you think of it,
Ben? You know, I think given the tenor and things that have happened in terms of civil discourse and the differences that we have in today's society, whereby attacks can occur at the blink of an eye and spread rapidly across the globe, frankly, based on fiction and ad hominem attacks, I think there's nothing wrong with examining our current body politic and how things engage. I don't believe at all what I just heard, that this is an effort to put a muzzle on people and create a culture of political correctness. That is just sort of the standard flag that gets thrown up anytime anyone wants to do something.
There's no other purpose for it, Vince. There's no other reason to do this except to try to control people's speech through political correctness and intimidation. It's the same. It's going to turn into the old race card. So where every time you don't like what somebody says, you call them uncivil, and oh my
God. So you're saying, in effect, you could call it the Political Correctness Institute.
It's a Political Correctness Institute. That's all it is. Now look, Vince has sat here and called my political views in one sentence extremist, radical, and I'm engaged in Star Chamber. Now, if you want to talk about the facts are that many people in the state of Arizona, and incidentally, after a redistricting that was done by an independent committee, the public has supported Republicans, conservatives in this state. There's 21 Republicans in this state Senate and only 9 Democrats. And in the state House, 40 Republicans and only 20 Democrats. Who's out of step here? The Republicans or the Democrats? The liberals or the conservatives? It's the liberals. Now, getting back to the Star Chamber, I will tell you what they're doing here, Vince, is they're simply saying the federal government has overstepped and we want to set up a constitutional fight in the courts to determine whether the federal government has overstepped some of its laws, and they are setting that up by passing these laws so that it gets tried in the courts. That's what this is about.
Hey, let's talk about the facts. When I said what I said, I specifically said this doesn't necessarily apply to all Republicans and not even necessarily you, John. So let's start with the facts. Part of the problem with the debate and dialogue is that when you start just categorizing things incorrectly and just throwing out attacks,
which you just did.
No, I told you exactly who I'm talking about, the leadership of the Republican Party in this state.
So they're all Republicans all of
a
sudden.
The leadership at the state legislature
are radicals, extremists.
They have engaged, in my opinion, and I stand by it, a radical extremist agenda. What is you have just described
let's
in terms of this law
issues.
Let's talk about the law. For example, this idea that we're just going to say, you know what, we're not going to follow that federal law and you can't make us. That is akin to treason. We're saying, you know what, you want to talk about secession? That is akin to secession and treason. We don't want to follow your rules, federal government. That's exactly what's coming out of the state legislature. And that's not it. You know what else they added in there? Sylvia Allen, I believe it was Sylvia Allen, has proposed a bill that if a federal officer goes in and tries to enforce federal law, he's going to be committing an Arizona crime, under Arizona law. You don't tell me that's not extremist,
Let's talk about reality here. The only way you're going to force the issues, and what's going on here, is they're trying to force the issues on federal overstepping by creating laws that the feds are going to have to challenge, and then we will get into the 10th Amendment issues to see whether, in the courts, whether the feds have overstepped. Now, if you're talking about treason, let's talk about Barack Obama and his refusal to enforce DOMA, which is the Domestic
DOMA,
the Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed by Congress, signed, and he's refusing to enforce it. It is the law of the land. It is in the courts.
That's actually not accurate, what you just said. He's not refusing to enforce the law.
He's refusing to defend the
Well, that's a different story now. All right, John.
That's a pretty fine line. He's refusing to defend a federal law on the basis that it has been ruled unconstitutional by one lower court. It's going to go up. Now, if that's the case, why doesn't he refuse to enforce his Obamacare Act, which has also been ruled unconstitutional?
Hold that
by
thought.
The courts.
We're going to take a commercial break. That was John Munger, and Vince Robigo is with us, and we will continue with the Monday face-off after this. This is the Buckmaster Show.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 21 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. One of my favorite segments is the bi-weekly Monday Showdown series, our political face-off. John Munger is to the left. Wait a minute. John,
whoa!
You need to be seated over where Vince Robigo is on my right. Anyway, John, I know you started this session being offended by what Vince was saying, using the term radical and extremist.
Right. You know, it's not that I'm offended. What I'm offended by is the hypocrisy from the left of claiming that all of the cynicism, all of the conversation, all of the incivility comes from the right. That's absolute bull. Now, I got to tell you, I respect Vince, and I know what Vince is talking about. And I respect Vince's right to say what Vince believes. But don't tell me I'm uncivil when you start out conversations talking about my political philosophies and categorizing them first words out of your mouth as radical, extremist, and star chamber. Now, I will tell you, I think it's better to, and you don't hear me talking about that. I will call somebody a defined term, such as a conservative, a liberal, a socialist, a capitalist. That's fine. But starting out with extremist and radical, I don't do. Now, I think we ought to have debate on the issues. But you know what? Vince is a smart guy. And Vince can talk about the issues. He doesn't need to do that. And I understand what he's talking about. And I have no problem with him doing that. But I don't want to be preached at by the liberals telling me that I need to be more civil.
Okay, Vince.
Hey, I never said he needed to be more civil. I never said that at all. I said that right now what's going on at the Arizona legislature, and I'm going to keep beating this drum, because the problem is people have backed off for far too long against this kind of what I believe is a radical extremist agenda to fight the federal government, to essentially the equivalency of seceding, trying to force these fights in the federal courts, trying to create new crimes so they can purportedly arrest federal officers. To me, that's way out of step, way out of line, and to think that you can create a star chamber of 12 or 13 people that are going to decide which laws Arizona is going to follow federally or not. That is way out of line. That is extreme in my view. And so John keeps conflating the two between what I'm talking about, what's happening in this state. When you have a legislature that's cutting insurance, claiming to save $9 million when they're going to lose billions in federal aid in relation to the access cuts, when they are seeking to make doctors into federal immigration agents, when they are seeking to roll back longstanding and settled perceptions and understandings of the legal connotations of the 14th Amendment back to Civil War times. The reality is we are faced with people that are out of step. Have they been elected? Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel badly for the state, and people are frustrated, and that's when we go back to this point of people who are trying to start these efforts, which like Paul Eckerstrom and those folks, because it's a level of frustration saying, oh my God, we don't want the rest of the country to believe that all of Arizona believes in these radical
and
ideas.
Vince, I respect your opinion. You're a smart guy. I don't agree with you. I respect your opinion, and you're explaining it that way. I mean, you and I both know we could go back and forth and argue those points forever.
That's why I'm here, John.
But I will tell you, don't talk about, you know, you've got to define radical and extremist, Vince. In terms of the context of the populace. Who's in step with the overall populist? Who's mainstream with the populist, and who's not?
And my view is that it's not.
Well,
that's the
your
point.
View is that it's not, but it's amazing how the conservatives continue to get elected. So I would suggest to you that it's not us that's out of step.
So you think Vince may be out of step?
He's way out of step. Is that a surprise to you, Bill? How could you look? How could we not understand what's out of step when you see what's being elected around the country? Conservatives are being elected overwhelmingly, and yet the liberals continue to call us out of step. How can that be? I mean, you know, people get to vote in this country what they believe. The ones that are out of step are the ones that are in the minority.
So you're saying it's the will of the people.
The will of the people, of course. Let's respect the people and not call them stupid. They're not stupid.
The reality is the will of the people is expressed by those who show up and who votes.
So they're too dumb. The ones that vote are too dumb.
I didn't say that. When did I just say that, John? No, I said it's determined by those who show up. Just in terms of sheer numbers, and you know as well as I do, in any given representative democracy, such as the one we have here, a minority of people are showing up. United States and in Arizona as well has a turnout ratio and a registration ratio that it does not match up with how many people there really are, and it's a minority of people that determines. It's very small.
Very small.
Wait a minute.
So you want to talk about the fact that people aren't voting doesn't mean that.
I'm going to work from reality, Vince. Reality is You turn the voters up at the polls, and they overwhelmingly threw you guys out because you spend too much, you tax too much, and they don't like what you do, and the federal government imposes its will too much, and we're challenging that in the courts. Now,
election office
can also
doesn't
look,
mean that it represents
also,
everybody.
You look, you can call the voters dumb. Which is what you're doing.
No, you're doing that.
No,
never
you
said,
are.
Yeah.
You
that's,
are.
That's
Vince,
inaccurate.
Vince never used the word.
No,
dumb.
No, but he is. He's implying that they're
not
dumb.
Not at all. Not at
he's
all.
He's implying that the people
no,
that
absolutely
vote.
Absolutely not. False.
And incidentally, he's implying the people that vote are not smart enough to know what's right.
Never said that.
Well,
never
that's
said that.
What you're implying.
Not
so,
at all.
So then let
you're
me go on.
You're misstating. No, I need to correct this because you are absolutely misstating what I just said. Well, I said it's determined by those who show up, meaning a tiny minority of people.
And those
who
that
could
show
be,
up. Vince,
and I'm not saying anything about their intelligence level. They could be all
radical,
extremist,
up.
Conservative Einsteins. That's and, not
and
that's
and
not the
PhDs.
Point. All PhDs,
Vince,
but it's a minority of people that determine who
showed
up
voted conservative. And that's all you can go by. Moreover, if you look at the polling, the only evidence on the polling is that 20% of the population in this country, by overall polling, repeatedly classify themselves as liberal. Double that, 40% classify themselves as conservatives. It's you guys that are out of step, not the conservatives. So quit trying to label us as the extremists.
Well, you're labeling me as liberal. I've never labeled myself as liberal.
You're a liberal. You've labeled yourself a liberal many times.
No, I have not. Absolutely. Look it up.
Have you ever
called
yourself a liberal?
I have never called myself a liberal.
I've heard you.
Nope. Absolutely false.
What, you use this progressive thing?
What's that?
You use this progressive thing? Are you trying to hide from liberal?
What? No, I'm not trying to hide from anything.
That's what the liberals are doing these days.
What, calling themselves progressive?
Sure, they don't like the term liberal anymore. They want to be progressives.
Hey, well, you know, if you want to, if progressive means fighting for working people, if progressive means fighting to keep insurance for children,
are you saying I'm not a working people?
John,
are you saying I'm not a working person?
Hey, having a job is not the same thing as the average working Joe who works minimum wage to make a living, who's being cut with their insurance by the Arizona legislature, and you do not fall into that class, John.
I see. So we're going to talk class now?
That class of people.
I
group
see.
Of people.
So
you want me to use the word?
We want to divide the country into classes.
No, I want to fight for people. It is. The greatest transfer of wealth has already happened over many years under Republican control, and it continues to happen. For example, with the bills that were just passed recently, more tax breaks to corporations where the average Joe in Arizona wants a job, wants to save their home from foreclosure. But what is the Arizona legislature doing about that? Nothing. They're passing bills.
Jobs.
They're passing bills trying to name an official state gun. And I'm a gun owner, by the way. But I frankly think they ought to pick the gun that was made in Arizona, not the Colt, which is from out of state, if they're going
to
do that.
The ones that are out of state, out of step, are the ones that keep getting voted out of the office, and that's you guys. Nice.
John Munger and Vince Robigo, thank you both very much for being with us.
Happy to be here, Bill.
Thank
good
you to
very
see you,
much.
Bill.
Thanks
Vince,
a lot.
Good to see you.
See you next time, John.
It's about 30 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Political views collide.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The Pentagon says the U.S. is repositioning its Navy and Air Force to be ready in case of a possible military option in Libya. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi is fighting to hold on to his power. Abu Bakr Saad, who used to be an interpreter and diplomat for Gaddafi, thinks he's delusional.
He feels if he can hang in Tripoli and he controls Tripoli, he can regain the other areas.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the people of Libya have made it clear they want Gaddafi to go. All four people killed in a plane crash in the United Arab Emirates were Americans. The plane was heading to Saudi Arabia. A former British Airways employee was found guilty in London of four terror-related charges. Authorities say he was plotting to blow up a plane in the U.S. One death is blamed on the wildfires that have burned more than 110,000 acres across the Texas Panhandle. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
This cold and flu season, I'm glad I have the Exergen thermometer. It's so easy to take temperatures now. Just a gentle stroke across the forehead and you get an accurate reading. No fussing, no squirming. It's so simple, my older ones actually do it themselves and it works every time. The Exergen temporal scanner, that's money well spent.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Walgreens and other fine retailers.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Coming up now on 35 minutes past the hour on this Monday on the Buckmaster Show. Well, legislation in Phoenix would end the ongoing sewer wars between Pima County and the town of Marana, placing the sewage treatment plant in Marana in control of the town of Marana. Now, the sponsor of the legislation of SB 1171 is State Senator Frank Antinori, who has an op-ed piece in today's Arizona Daily Star saying Marana deserves an opportunity to operate and manage the public sewage utility within its boundaries so that it can stimulate economic development, bring important land use decisions truly under town control, and make the most beneficial use of all of its available water resources. Well, with us live in studio right now is Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor. Supervisor Elias, good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Bill. Always good to be on the show.
Thank you so much. What do you think of this op-ed piece from State Senator Frank Antinori, who, we might point out, the Pima County Board of Supervisors appointed Mr. Antinori to his Senate position. There was one lone dissenting vote, and I believe that vote was Supervisor Richard Elias.
Yes, that was my vote, and I stand by it. I think it was a good vote. I think Senator Antinori is way out of line on his opinion piece on Marana in today's newspaper. Apparently, he doesn't understand the concept of regional planning and the benefits that it's offered our communities. And frankly, all the different jurisdictions in Pima County have benefited tremendously from that. And it's been in place since 1979. And really has been something that has taken care of us through difficult times. And although we face tremendous challenges right now in completing some upgrades to our sewer system, we will accomplish them together because of the planning that we've been able to do to this point. And I think Senator Antinori's opinion piece is wrong on several other levels as well.
Let's hear some of the other levels that he's wrong on.
Well, number one, those assets are intermingled with the rest of the people in Pima County. So therefore, at minimum, Marana would need to pay us fairly for what they would be taking from everyone else. Another thing is that we had a 10-year-long discussion about the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan here in this community, and it was an award-winning plan that has really provided us protection to the beautiful region that we live in, the important habitat we have for animals that exist no place anywhere else in the world. And frankly, developers and land speculators have come to understand that it's worked on their behalf as well, as they've seen the value of their properties rise.
And Chairman Valadez was on the Buckmaster Show a week or so ago, Ramon Valadez, and we were talking about this issue, and he showed me the numbers. He laid them out of what it costs for Pima County to run it and what it would cost for the town of Marana. And I'm telling you, based on the numbers he showed me, the cost savings is substantial for Pima County to be running that that operation.
Oh, absolutely. That was going to be my next point. While we've saved land and protected our environment, we've also kept costs down to residents in those jurisdictions. And folks up there in Marana, if this all comes to pass, are going to be very frustrated and very angry when they see that their bills, their utility bills for sewage costs, are going to rise tremendously because of their lack of willingness to support a regional system that really, as I said, operates pretty efficiently.
You know, Pima County Superior Court judge ruled last week that Pima County can keep its $164 million contract with the engineering firm to design, construct, and operate a new wastewater treatment plant at the Roger Road near I-10 facility. Is this matter now been resolved in the courts?
This matter has now been resolved in the courts, and this is going to move forward, and folks are going to find that we're going to have a much better system because of it. They'll see those odors go away. They'll see some new land uses for that property over there off of Roger Road, a series of parks. Corazón de Tres Rios. We've talked about it in the past as well. All of those things are going to come out of that project, but especially eliminating the nitrates that are in the effluent that's being released into the Santa Cruz River, which is a major environmental problem. And frankly, the EPA has decided that either we fix that or they're going to come in and fix it for us. So that's a difficult situation to be in. But again, those are the challenges that you face, and we are facing them, and really have a good plan together for financing it that should help reduce costs to users over time, as well as to connection fees.
Getting back to Senator Antinori and some of the what many think is kind of the craziness that's going on this particular session up in Phoenix, where the state is looking to continually shift costs very big time to cities and counties like Pima County.
Absolutely. The cost shifting is really what we're afraid of in terms of our budget. Right now, if we keep the tax rate where it is, we'd have about $20 million less to spend. The county stands prepared to take that hit and make sure that we provide the services that we need to provide. But with the cost shifts that we're threatened with by the legislature, that could really blow all of that out of the water, and you'd find Pima County in a similar kind of financial situation as the state legislature has put the state of Arizona in. We'd be in a very difficult place, and then you'd have to deal with another local government not being able to provide the services it needs to be able to provide.
Let's talk a little bit about Rosemont Copper, the proposed mine in the Santa Ritas. Rosemont still needs some permits. I think it's a 5 or 6 permits before they can actually get going. One of them is a key permit from Pima County. What's the current thinking on that?
Well, you know, we're still waiting to have a completed EIS submitted.
EIS? The Environmental Impact Study.
Okay. To the feds. That has not been done to their satisfaction at this point. So we really can't talk about any of those permits until we find that we have a plan that's actually acceptable and that Rosemont is telling the truth about what is in that plan. Because so far, the feds have been unwilling to accept their plan because it is not documented fully, and those answers aren't there for the public about what the true impacts of the mine there at Rosemont would be for all of us.
Larry Hecker, the chairman of the Pima County Bond Advisory Committee, had an op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star on Friday saying that Pima County is demonstrating, in his opinion, prudence on these regional transportation authority projects that apparently some of these projects have been kind of back-burnered. Where are we right now in the process of the county paying its fair share for RTA?
Well, we're going to pay our fair share on those projects, and they will be built. But we are not going to use our fund balance that we currently have right now to complete those projects. That would just be a real travesty and a poor use of money, a poor use of the public's money at a time when we really need to have government that's solvent, that has a significant fund balance, so that we can deal with health emergencies and other kind of things that can happen to us very quickly. We had a very small measles outbreak about a year and a half ago. That measles outbreak cost us over $2 million in our community. An unseen cost, yet a very small disease outbreak that cost us a lot of money. Pima County is going to get that work done. We're going to make sure that we have the HERF revenues and other kinds of money available to pay for it, but we're not going to use general fund dollars to fund those projects at this particular juncture.
The University of Arizona is talking, as you know, about re-energizing or re-putting back on from the back burner to the front burner a possible arena in the downtown area. You and I have talked repeatedly in the past how Pima County really never has had much of a stake in the whole Rio Nuevo planning. I mean, isn't it true Pima County is one of the biggest employers in downtown Tucson?
Absolutely. I think we have the most employees of anybody in downtown Tucson right now. And that idea is very appealing, but I've heard no discussions take place between the university and the neighborhoods, or even the universities and the city of Tucson. Those discussions have been kept private. And frankly, given the track record of Rio Nuevo, I think it's critical that those discussions take place in the most public kind of forum possible. Because it is a huge expense of money. It would impact people's lives tremendously. But if we're able to put something together that's going to work for the university, improve their facilities, improve their ability to bring more people out to attend athletic events that really help keep us all solvent and add a tremendous amount of money to our economy, I think that would be something good to discuss. But again, no discussion with Westside residents, and being the District 5 supervisor, I would definitely have to stand up for those folks and make sure that these discussions take place in a public forum.
Got about a minute left. The assessed valuation notices, what can you tell the people of Pima County that are listening?
Gone down significantly this year, about 7.3% at this juncture, unprecedented in the history of Pima County. I know that some folks have seen some commercial valuations stay the same or increase a little bit. That's due to infrastructure that surrounds them, places where there's major roadways and malls and stuff. Those valuations are going to stay pretty steady, but most people have seen their valuations go down in a way that Pima County has never experienced before. We stand prepared to deal with that and hopefully not increase the tax rate. But again, it's up to those unbalanced people up there at the state legislature to make sure that they don't cost shift us into oblivion.
Okay, Richard Leas, Pima County Supervisor, it's always a pleasure seeing you and bringing us up to date on what's going on with Pima County. And we will be talking as this legislative session unfolds, and we'll see, as some might say, what craziness is still around the corner. Richard Leas, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Bill. Have a good day.
You too. It's about 46 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk Major League Baseball and professional baseball with Mike Fader. He is kind of the Pima County sports guru, I think you could call him that, and he's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 50 minutes past the hour, we're going to talk professional baseball. And for the first time, really, since the 1940s, Tucson will not be host city for a major league team's spring training activities. However, big league ballplayers will be in the Old Pueblo for an important charity game 1 week from today at Keno Stadium. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Mike Fader. Mr. Fader is the vice president and general manager of the Tucson Padres baseball organization. Mike, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Tell me about the charity game, and then we're going to talk about the Padres, what it means for professional baseball here.
Well, the game, like you said, is next a week from today, March 7th at 1:05. The Chicago White Sox are playing the Arizona Diamondbacks, with all the net proceeds going to the Christina Taylor Green Memorial Fund. I'm sure we're going to have the ribbons out there that some of the schools have been selling and the patch. And this is important that our community still acknowledge what's going on of a young lady that, quite honestly, had aspirations to play Major League Baseball. Her father is a full-time scout for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it's nice for the White Sox and Diamondbacks to really come down to play the game and for Pima County to put this out as a charity game.
Yeah, she was part of kind of the Major League family. There's a lot of connections there.
Deep,
right?
Connections. Yeah. Some people, if you're a baseball fan, you'll know the name Dallas Green.
Right.
Dallas Green was the former manager of the Cubs, Philadelphia Phillies, has been with the Yankees. That's a grandfather. That's John Green's father. It's when this tragic event occurred at her funeral, I mean, to show you how touched the baseball community was, the general manager of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman, was here, the Philadelphia Phillies owner, general manager, the Los Angeles Dodgers owner and general manager were here, Luis Gonzalez of the Diamondbacks, just a lot of people, and it really hit home with a lot of people, you know, how sad, you know, and how tragic this event was. I'm sure that's not today's topic, but, you know, I think it's important to commemorate her life and, you know, do some things that could help other young children and to play sports, and that's where the Green family wants the money to go.
Is this pretty much going to be the only spring training Major League game in town?
We're working on two others. There's been talk of the Dodgers possibly playing in a game later in March. And as part of our agreement with the San Diego Padres, they will also play a game if we could finalize it with another Major League club, which we're feverishly working on. And if that doesn't get resolved in the next 3, 4, 5 days, then that won't occur. But the Padres have really been a great partner in that. But we think it's important just to keep our toe in the waters with Major League Baseball and to put on some good events so that they say that or they see that Tucson's not dead.
And it's interesting because the San Diego Padres, their Triple A franchise is now the Tucson Padres. Explain a little bit how this all came about.
Can I go back to one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then I'll come back to your question.
Go back to that, and then we'll go through a little of the chronology.
For people wanting to buy tickets for next week,
please.
They could one of three ways. They can come by Keno Stadium in person, which formerly Tucson Electric Park, from 10 to 5. Monday through Friday, also 10 to 3 on Saturday. They can call 434-1367. Or they can go online. The easiest one is either TucsonPadres.com or KenoSportsComplex.com. Tickets range anywhere from about, I think, $8 to $20, which is typical spring training. I've seen the forecast after yesterday's lovely weather for the golf tournament.
Yeah, I think we may be through with the freezing weather.
I think we're about the 70s and 80s next week.
It should be absolutely perfect.
So it should be nice. And now to go back to your question.
Padre baseball in Tucson.
The Portland Beavers had Triple A baseball there. Their owner chose to get rid of baseball and go to MLS soccer. So the Pacific Coast League had to find a home for the AAA club. In the meantime, the San Diego Padres bought the Portland Ball Club and had plans and still have plans to move the team to Escondido, which is in the north county of San Diego, 45 minutes from downtown San Diego. There's currently a bill in front of their city council to approve the passage of a $50 million baseball stadium, which will be used for redevelopment money from the state of California. Governor Jerry Brown has said, if you don't use the money quickly, we're taking it back for the state. So there's a lot of discussion going on right now about resolving it. But not only is that an issue, there could be environmental issues. There could be legal lawsuits.
So it's not a done deal.
Without question. And so for sure, we have AAA baseball here for 2 years, but I think it's important for your listeners to understand we're not looking at this as short term. One, something can go on, could fall apart in Escondido, but two, if we do a great job, which we hope to do, there's going to be another team in the Pacific Coast League that might look to relocate. We want them to consider Tucson first because Tucson had AAA baseball from 1969 all the way through until 2 years ago when the club was sold to Reno. Well, I'm tired of things leaving Tucson, and that's why I got back involved. You know, the spring training, the LPGA golf tournament, the Copper Bowl, the AAA club. You know, when do we get tired of it as a community? When do we just say, you know, we're going to get behind this thing and we're going to be the best we can?
So this is kind of like the first time something's come back to Tucson
exactly.
in the sports arena.
And that's why I got involved. I mean, I knew that it was something that's important socially for this community and also economically for this community. The economic impact is well in excess of $2 million. So now it's up to me and my staff to do a great job, make it fun for people to come out and put on a great product.
Let's face it, if you're not going to see Major League, if you're not going to have Major League Baseball, if you're not going to drive up to Phoenix or go over to the coast, this is as close as you will get to quality players, and you're going to see big league players who occasionally come down to the AAA team.
Well, you'll see big league players either coming or going.
Yeah.
I mean, the nucleus of our club will be made up with guys that at some point in the next 2 or 3 years are going to make up the nucleus of the San Diego Padres club. So AAA baseball is excellent baseball. And, so I think the people who are the true baseball fans understand that. You know, for us, to be honest with you, we sell the sizzle. We sell
You're going to have to sell a lot of promotion. That's
the Thirsty
you
Thursdays,
do yeah.
people like that. You know, You know, we're going to honor the military every Sunday.
Fireworks in the mix.
Fireworks. The San Diego Chicken is going to return. He hasn't been here for 5-6 years. A lot of discounts. You know, we're going to work with a lot of organizations philanthropically. We're going to be heavily involved with the school system. So we're going to do whatever it takes to make it work.
You've been involved with the Pima County Sports Authority. Update us on where all of that is right now.
Well, the Sports Authority continues to work with the Japanese for spring training. That was really close last year. We had a commitment from one team to come, but we needed two. So we think for 2012 that's still a possibility. 8 or 9 major league clubs have said that they would have come down to play the Japanese. Now Dan Schneider, Tom Tracy, the board are all working hard on that. Jim Arnold, former GM at
Channel 13.
Channel 13 is now the executive director.
Good. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Jim's a friend of mine.
And Jim's a good man. So we're going to work on that. And then at some point, they have to decide when the bill we've talked about that I've been on your show and talked about will be presented to Pima County voters. I don't believe it's going to be 2012 because of a presidential election, but most likely in 2013. So there are still very promising things to occur for the Sports Authority.
That bill has to be it's within 5 years? Is
correct.
It has to be brought to the voters within 5. So by 2013, we're getting to the expiration point there.
Yeah, it's at the point that it needs to get, it needs to either move forward or it goes away. But the Sports Authority is very focused on making that work. So I'm watching you getting signals.
Yeah,
so
I'm getting about 1 minute. Amateur sports continues to be big. It looked like we had a pretty good Fort Lowell shootout.
Well, and you've got some bigger things coming up. Well, not bigger. Fort Lowell shootout does a great job. But the University of Minnesota is bringing a college baseball tournament here at the end of this week because of the Metrodome roof collapsing.
Really?
The University of Minnesota, South Alabama, Oklahoma State, and one other college. I'm sure you'll read about a little more about that during the week. There's a huge high school and college tournament coming up in mid-March. So a lot of things that people don't realize are taking place in Tucson. The Keno Sports Complex is a happening place.
Come back and see us again on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill. Good luck to you at the new show.
Thank you so much. Diamondbacks and White Sox tickets now on sale for the Christina Taylor Green Memorial Charity Game. It is March the 7th, 1 week from today. This is the Buckmaster Show. We're coming up on the top of the hour. A quick reminder, the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we'll be talking with the state school superintendent, John Hoopenthal, among others. Got a great lineup, as usual, on the Buckmaster Show on this interview-driven talk show for Tucson. Have a great day.
KJLL, South Tucson.